Every summer, we see a massive algae bloom in Lake Erie, and not so long ago, it actually was toxic enough to contaminate the Toledo water supply, shutting off service to about 500,000 people in northern Ohio and southern Michigan. But the agricultural runoff, and in particular phosphorus, is affecting waters in other places too, including Washtenaw County, and it goes beyond runoff. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest today is Rick Lawson, and Rick is planner for the Huron River Watershed Council, and good to talk with you again, Rick.
Good to speak with you again as well, David.
Well, let's start here. In your assessment, how big of an issue is phosphorus for the Huron River watershed?
Well, phosphorus has been one of the biggest pollutants of concern for us for what really since I've been here. And of course, we feed directly into Lake Erie. So we're part of the system, and we're working, you know, to do our best to try to control some of the sources of that nutrient.
I mentioned runoff, and that is certainly one of the primary sources of phosphorus contamination in the watershed. What else is contributing to the problem?
Well, runoff is the primary source. We do also have sources coming from wastewater treatment plants,
mm-hmm.
So in the urban environment. It's really stormwater runoff, so all the water that goes down those storm drains goes, for the most part, directly to the river and then out to down to Ford and Belleville Lake, which is our point of concern.
Yeah, they've had the most significant issues with algae blooms and related issues, and you do directly attribute that to phosphorus.
Yes. In most areas, you have algae blooms are controlled by nutrient balance, which is mostly phosphorus or nitrogen or a combination of both. And in most areas, there is one controlling nutrient or the other. And in southern Michigan, it's phosphorus.
In the past decade, we have seen marked improvements in both lakes. To what do we attribute that?
Well, we've got a couple of things going on. The after the original policy was passed, which was the first nutrient control policy in Michigan.
That was 1996, right?
1996, correct. All of the municipalities in the area got together and formed a partnership that continues to this day to track where the sources of the phosphorus were and to start investing in projects. And to date, multiple tens of millions of dollars have been spent on projects throughout the watershed to reduce those sources. And then that partnership also has supported monitoring so we can see how we're doing. And that monitoring is showing that we have dropped the sources going into the river and then ultimately to Ford Lake by almost 40% from that 1996 original calculation.
In the great span of time, that is a relatively short period of time to achieve those kind of results, if I'm not incorrect, right?
Yes, it is. And it's actually really, really great to see that kind of environmental success that's hard to achieve.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Huron River Watershed Council Planner Rick Lawson on issues of the environment, about impacts, and some regulation when it comes to phosphorus runoff on the Huron River. On the regulatory front, Washtenaw County Circuit Court not so long ago ruled that the new Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy redeveloped that 1996 policy that limits phosphorus discharges into the Huron River. What would a reconfigured policy look like?
So the main thing that they're looking for, and we agree for the most part, is that what was missing was lake loading. So the original policy didn't really address that. What I mean by that is that, you know, what we've been talking about so far is all the runoff sources, all the new additions of phosphorus or the
mm-hmm.
pollutant to the lakes. But then within the lakes, there's all the legacy that had been dumped there before. Phosphorus binds to soil, so it settles in these lakes. But then under certain conditions, it can come back up into the water column and cause these algae blooms. And so that needs to be accounted for in managing the lakes as well.
So how do you go about managing what already exists at the bottom?
Yeah, that's really a challenge, and it's a challenge really across the country in some of these larger lakes. We're lucky in Ford Lake, both Ford and Belleville are impoundments. They're not natural lakes, but they're controlled by dams. The dam at Ford Lake... What's that?
For now, isn't
the, yes,
the dam now. That is blocking Ford
Correct.
Lake is coming out.
Yes. Well, yes, the dam at Peninsula Paper Dam
right.
will be coming out in the near future, based on last night's decision, yes. But the dam at Ford Lake, which will probably be there for a while, does have the ability to release water from the bottom gates. And the manager of that, Ypsilanti Township, has, since 2008, been doing those bottom releases when oxygen levels fall low enough. And what happens is that causes the lake to remix and prevent algae blooms. They can't do it all the time. There are certain conditions where it's not possible for them to do that. But when they have been able to, they've been able to prevent algae blooms.
You mentioned, Rick, that for the most part, the Huron River Watershed Council is in agreement with how the policy will be reconfigured. What is it missing? If you could draft the policy yourself, what would you add?
Well, I mean that we're in agreement that the lake loading needs to be accounted for in the policy, and that really the full balance of management needs to be accounted for. We do still think that there are existing sources, and that's we're measuring that. We certainly have had some great success at reducing those, but more work is needed to address those. We also agree with the wastewater treatment plants that in the past the policy has been mostly directed at them because those are, there's a fixed number that they can control and manage and monitor. But now we have the new stormwater policies, and we do believe that specific and numbers should be applied to those policies as well.
Issues of the environment, and our conversation continues with Huron River Watershed Council Planner Rick Lawson. So it is going to take a partnership, some partnerships that already exist, and more to come. Which are the communities that are being most proactive in working with you on this front?
Well, I'd have to say far and above, the city of Ann Arbor has been the most proactive as far as investing in upgrades and in changes to stormwater management. They have a stormwater utility. They're one of the few in the state, and really the only one actively using a stormwater utility, which is, basically like your water utility or your sewage utility. All the residents are paying a fee to upgrade and manage our stormwater system. And so they've been able to invest millions of dollars in projects, and we've seen some direct benefits of that. The city of Dexter has also invested a fair amount of money, multiple millions of dollars in upgrades to their wastewater treatment plant, as well as some projects within the city as well. But really all the partners within the partnership, all the municipal partners, have been investing in our educational programs, as well as some other collaborative projects that we've done.
For communities that continue to struggle with budget, and let's face it, change and upgrades, it all costs money. Ann Arbor has the luxury of a more well-to-do community, which helps fund a lot of the projects that make it a leader. What are the recommendations, and how do we as a larger community assist those that are struggling with budget?
Yeah, that's a really good question, David. It is an issue that needs to be addressed head on. And I think, the stormwater utility itself doesn't make any judgment based on, based on income levels. But what it does is it isolates the problem of stormwater management and says we need to invest in maintaining this infrastructure. It's really the one utility that we have under our roads that we don't have a fixed budget to pay for. We don't have a pot that we can go to, so these cash-strapped communities have to dig into their general operating budgets, and that just makes it even harder for them. So if we have a dedicated utility that says that if you're using the stormwater resources, then you need to pay for that, then at least it's equitable and fair.
You had mentioned earlier, a policy drafted in 1996 has made a huge difference, and in a relatively short span of time, we have seen dramatic improvement. And, that's nearly 25 years ago now. So if we put you in front of a crystal ball and you look 25 years ahead, how might the waters in the Huron River watershed look different?
Well, I think, as you said, we are making tremendous progress, especially on the urban front. We've been able to get partnerships and collaborative projects in a number of different parts of our watershed. So I do think that the nutrient levels will continue to go in the right direction. The one area that I think we haven't had as much investment in, and it isn't as large an issue for us as it is in other watersheds, is the agricultural sector. And we're just now engaging in some new innovative projects to try to get more of a handle and to directly address the nutrient runoff coming from the agricultural sector. So I think we can make some progress there and continue to address and reduce the algae blooms.
Well, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. Sadly, there is going to be more than enough occasions that we'll have to talk again about these rather serious issues.
Yes, unfortunately, that's probably always going to be the case. But the more we learn, the better we're able to react.
Thank you so much for the time, Rick. I appreciate it.
You as well, David. Thank you for covering this story.
Rick Lawson is Watershed Planner for the Huron River Watershed Council and our guest on Issues of the Environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.